It's good to be with you again. It's been some time since I've been to Union Church. I've always loved coming here over the years, and I certainly love your pastor and his wife and consider them dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. I petition your prayers this afternoon. I need your prayers as I stand before you. If I am led by the Lord, I feel like speaking on the subject of truth. If you would turn with me to the book of Zechariah, in the Old Testament, we will be in the 8th chapter of Zechariah, and we're going to read the first 3 verses of this book. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." When we look and see in the Old Testament where the scriptures are speaking of Zion and Jerusalem, we know for certain that it's pointing to the New Testament church, is pointing to Jesus Christ. When the Lord says, "Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth," we can go to the New Testament and find where Paul calls the church the pillar and ground of the truth. We see here that our God is jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, with a fury, he says. Now, we know that our Lord was jealous when the children of Israel would worship false gods. He's jealous when his people worship false gods. But he's also jealous when his children worship him falsely. Let me say that again. Our God is jealous with a great fury when his children worship him in a false manner. Amen. Jerusalem is called the city of truth. Now we can go to John, the 4th chapter. You know these verses very well. In the 23rd verse, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Who does the Father seek? True worshipers. See? He seeks true worshipers. We put a lot of emphasis on the spirit when we say this. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We put a lot of emphasis on spirit, and rightly so. But sometimes we forget the second part of that, truth. See, spirit and truth go together. You cannot separate them. Did you hear me? You cannot separate them. Well, what do you mean, Brother Steve? Do you mean that somebody's worshiping our God falsely? There's no way that he can be worshiping in the Spirit? Exactly. Exactly. Why? We must worship him in spirit and truth. See, they go together and you cannot separate them. Well, see, now I've heard many times, and you have too, that our brothers and sisters in the Arminian church, they have some truths. You've heard that. And a matter of fact, when I've read this, that's what I hear a lot. Well, they have some truths. Well, let's go back to the verse here. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and some truth. That is not what it says, is it? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, that word must is one of the strongest words you're going to come across in the King James Bible. It means that it is necessary that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, how do we worship him in spirit? How do we worship him in truth? Well, we can go to Romans 12, right quick-like, and we find in the 12th chapter of Romans, starting the first verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we know in the Old Testament, they presented a dead sacrifice. You present a living sacrifice every time that you come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, look, it has to be holy and acceptable unto God. How do we present ourselves in a way that's holy and acceptable unto God? We, as children of God, have a responsibility when we come to meet and worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen to this next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have a responsibility when we come to transform ourselves, to renew our mind, to turn away from the evilness of this world and for a little while set our minds on the things of heaven. See? So where does the Spirit dwell? Right here, don't you think? In the heart? The heart is essential for worship. See? And we know the heart is evil, isn't it? So how do we get it to the point where it's holy and acceptable? We transform that mind. We think on heavenly things, see? Because the things of the mind affect the heart. Amen. See? The things of the mind affect the heart. That's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. See, whatsoever things are true. Well, let's talk about truth for a minute, because the world's lost their mind when it comes to truth. See, the world says this, my truth might not be the same as your truth. Isn't that the most ridiculous statement you ever heard in your life? What they're screaming very loudly is, there is no absolute truth. Let me tell you what absolute truth is. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is absolute truth. From Genesis all the way to Revelation is absolute truth in the King James Bible. See, there's another thing. We have thousands upon thousands of men will get up in a pulpit on Sunday morning and preach from so-called Bibles that have changed the Word of God. See, listen, the Scriptures tells us that our Lord's words are pure words. you know, tried in a furnace of silver 7 times. They're complete. They need nothing added to them. They need nothing taken away from them. As a matter of fact, I know of 3 places in Scripture where he tells us, don't you add to my word, don't you take away from my word. See, why? Because when you add to the word of God, they're no longer pure words. When you take away from the word of God, they're no longer pure words. They've become the words of men, see? And they're no longer pure. This is pure. See? It's complete. It needs nothing added to it. It needs nothing taken away from it. So we try to come in spirit then and transform our mind, renew our mind to think on heavenly things. All right, that's the spirit side. What about the truth side? How do we make sure that our worship is true? Our Lord said this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We walk in the statutes of God. See, if we're walking outside of the statutes of our God in worship, then we are not true worshipers. What do you mean, Brother Steve? Well, what has our Lord commanded us to do? Let's give you a good example here. He has told us to sing praises unto him, has he not? And how are we to make that melody? With our hearts, correctly. What happens if we bring musical instruments into the church? Is that a commandment of our God? No, if we're doing that, we're walking outside of the commandments of God. They're no longer his commandments. They become commandments and traditions of men. And our Lord said, if we use that for doctrine, we worship him in vain. It's completely empty worship, and he will not accept it. Brothers and sisters, if we walk outside of the commandments of God in our worship, we are not holy and acceptable unto God, and he will not accept our worship. Shouldn't that be our greatest prayer when we come to worship our God? Father, that you accept the offer that I bring. Shouldn't that be our prayer, brothers and sisters? That he would accept what we bring to him. Walk outside of his commandments, see, and our God becomes jealous with a great fury. With a great fury, brothers and sisters. He will not accept empty worship. We are to walk in his truths. We are to walk in his truths. Jesus said this, and I'm going to go here for too long so these other brothers have plenty of time now. This is what our Lord said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who's me? Well, we know it's our Lord, of course. But let's answer it using the text. See, let's answer it using the text. Who is me? Me is the way, the truth, and the life. See, the only way to the Father is through the truth. It's the only way. Through the truth. The only way. Do you see that? If we are walking outside the commandments of our God, we are not presenting our bodies a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto our God. We see the things that are going on in our world. It's bothering us. It's bothering us greatly. But where do we need to be looking? We need to be looking at the kingdom of God. See, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, listen, do we want things to get better in our country? Then the kingdom needs to flourish. The kingdom needs to flourish if we want our country to flourish. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He tells us if we do these things, there's a promise that comes along with it. All those things that we need will be added unto us. You want the country to flourish, then the kingdom needs to flourish. Most places we go and back home, there's a handful here and a handful there. Seems like there's been such a great falling away from Christianity as a whole. I told Brother Jeff earlier, there's little nuggets that our God will give you. There's a little Baptist church down the road about 100 yards. And back during COVID, they quit meeting, you know, during that time. And one of the sisters there wanted to continue to come to church. So my aunt invited her to come to Mount Zion, the little church that I pastor. And she started coming. And I started preaching foundational doctrine. And a few months later, she came up to me and she said, "Brother Steve," she says, "I know the difference between what I believed and what I now believe." I like to shout it. I said, "Can you tell me?" She said, "Yeah, I can tell you." She said, I would lay my head down at night and I would wonder, if I died, have I done enough? You know, did I do enough today to get to heaven if I was to die? And I said, "And now," she said, "I know I could never do enough." She said, "And I also know that Jesus has done it all for me." Oh, whoo, she made her pastor happy, very happy. And I baptized her a few weeks ago. So I'm still on the mountain. So the Lord's still blessing. He's still blessing His children. But He also told the angels, the churches over there, and I've preached on this before, over in Revelations, He praised them for a while, and then He says, "I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love." We've left our first love, brothers and sisters. There was a time, even in my life, when the church was the center of our lives. It's not any longer. The church is supposed to be the center of our lives. In other words, our lives revolve around the kingdom of God. That's what we need if we want our country to flourish. See, we are to put on the whole armor of God, are we not? And stand against the wiles of the devil. That's over in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, by the way. Let's go look at this just for a second. I'm going to come to a close here in just a minute. Listen close to this. This is 13th verse. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." How amazing that the first piece of this armor is truth. My daddy said this, and I'll come to a close, and I'm going to tell you what he said, because I believe it's absolutely profound what he said. He said, "Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, and listen close to what I have to say. If the first piece of that armor doesn't fit, none of the rest of it will fit." I pray these words have been edifying to you. Pray they've been glorifying to our great God. May the Lord bless you. It's my prayer.